Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday the 10th of November. Thank you once again for joining us. And we've got a couple of segments for you on this week's show. We're going to, as always, bring you our news and rumours from Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris from the past couple of weeks. And then I'm going to recap my trip out to Disneyland Paris over the past weekend as I went out for Halloween. I'm going to share with you some of our thoughts on the Halloween celebration, on the New Generation Festival, and of course, the new terrific night that happened over at Walt Disney Studios, as well as a little bit of review about the hotel we stayed in. And we were lucky while we were over there to speak to Leslie Rain, who plays Annie Oakley in Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. We spoke to her as well. And that's pretty much what the show's going to be about this week. So without any further ado, let's get on with this week's edition of a Disney Brit Podcast. Welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show, and as joining me as always is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney pop people. Hello, Adam.
Well, you sound a bit apathetic today.
Do you know, I was just thinking, I said before we started this, I feel like, ugh. Do you know what it is? I'm cold, and it's dark, and it's been, has it been raining with you all day as well?
Yeah, we've had rain constantly all day here. It's miserable.
So it felt like, really, truly, the first wintry day. I've got sad then, haven't I?
You've just got sad, yeah.
I need those sad lights and stuff.
Yeah, we need sort of, like, sad music for you and everything.
Not sad music, just sad, as in seasonal disorder.
Ah, true. That's very true. It's, yeah, it is miserable here. But unfortunately, Craig isn't with us this week. He has got some of the things he needs to deal with this week, which we wish him well, and we are thinking of him, aren't we?
Yes, we are indeed, and also thinking of his error code when he's trying to plug his new iPod Touch into iTunes.
Yeah, which is also extremely important. So Craig isn't with us this week, so it's just the two of us rambling on as usual. We'll just have to be whiny and grumpy a little bit for Craig's absence again. But we've got some news for you. Fairly light sort of couple of weeks for news, really. So we're going to start off in Walt Disney World then, and we're looking at military offers for 2011.
Do you know, I really like the fact that it seems to be more in the States than the UK, the fact that they look after their servicemen and women over there. Not only their active duty ones, but also their vets as well. So they've got some amazing deals going on at the moment for the American military personnel. And these are, they're starting from now till September the 28th, 2011, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And the fact that I really like the fact that, you know, you can be retired, it can be related to the Coast Guard, the National Guard, or reservists, or their spouses. So basically, I think this probably covers 90% of the US population in some way, shape, or form. Because if you've ever been to SeaWorld and they say, well, people of the military stand up, everyone stands up. I'm usually the only one sat down. Anyway, they are really good prices. I'll give you a couple of things on the prices here to get you in the mood. The Disney four-day military promotional ticket with park hopper option is $138 each. Right. With water parks and more option is $138 again. And they also do the park hopper one, which is the... with the water parks from the park hopper one is $165. So there's some massive savings there. Not only at W. DW Resort, but also Disneyland Resort once again, of which you can get a three-day park hopper for $99. That's a three-day park hopper ticket for less than $100 over there. And as I say, you can be spouse, you can take up to five additional family or friends for you. So I reckon you work out US military plus five of their family members. That's got to be the whole of the states. But I think, once again, they don't have to do this. They never have to do this, but good on them for doing it.
Yeah, it is great to see that they're sort of really recognising the military, whether it's current military or ex-military, with some of the things that they do. And there's Let the Memories Begin this year is this idea about creating memories at the park. And they're sort of doing this, I suppose, by allowing more and more of the military to come. Talking about Let Memories Begin and talking about all the memories that people are creating, have you seen the video that's currently going around the internet about a family who tried to surprise their children?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant. I'll stick it up on the forum. Basically, they filmed them. They've had a long drive overnight, and they stop for a rest, and they film them to tell them that they're going to Disney World, and all these kids look absolutely terrible. They look miserable because they were told they were going to Dick's house, whoever he is, and then they find out they weren't, and they were all really upset that they weren't going to Dick's house. And the little girl starts crying, and the older boy just sits there and stares at his parents, and the middle one's going, I don't want to go to Disney World. I want to go to Dick's house. And it's all like, that video won't be going on the adverts then.
Well, to be honest with you, mate, if it's better than Disney World, why haven't we got the Dick's House podcast? Seems like we should be converted here.
I think we should. I think you're right. So if you, I'll search that out and I'll stick that one up on the forum if I can. But it's very, very funny just to watch what happens.
So next week will be the Dick Brit podcast. Yeah. Might even get rejected by iTunes.
Yeah, that could be an interesting one. I'll feed that up, find that one out from whereabouts it is. But it is very, very funny. Bless them. It's just very funny indeed. Okay, let's head to the park. So we're going to Magic Kingdom to start off with. We're going to give you a bit of a Fantasyland Forest expansion update. We still don't know any more about what is and isn't coming to the area now because they've changed their mind about so many different things. But around 30 25-foot tall oak trees have now been placed along the walls of the Fantasyland construction site. Although it's not clear whether or not these are going to be there permanently, they've certainly masked a lot of the construction that is going on that side and add a little more height to the front of the construction area. Either way, it is obviously starting to go upwards. It is starting to look more like a forest. So that is exactly what is happening over in that area at the moment. So hopefully this is sort of really the beginnings of us seeing a huge amount of stuff. The trees might be there, but they're still not stopping people from being able to look at the attraction by riding Dumbo, which is always quite nice. Right, there you go. So let's head over to Hollywood Studios, where, Jez, I think you've got some rehab updates for us.
I have indeed. The Studio Backlot Tour is scheduled to be closing for refurbishment in January 2011, from January 3rd to January 29th, and then reopening on the 30th. So if you want to go to Studio Backlot Tour in January, tough. Yeah. The Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground will be closing for refurbishment. Once again, from the 3rd to the 29th, and reopening on the 30th. So once again, if your kids are down there wanting to have a play in there, be calm.
No.
Although there's been lots of talk, people say they should get rid of it because kids don't understand what it is these days.
But... yeah, okay. Well, either get rid of it or retheme it to something like Bug's Life.
Yeah, I like that. They should do that. If they do, it's your idea. I like it.
There you go.
Disney Playhouse Disney Live on Stage will be closing for refurbishment from January the 30th to March the 5th. So if you've gone down there on January the 30th to actually get back on Studio Tour and Honey, I Shrunk the Playground, you can't go to Disney Live on Stage.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, for some reason, Liberty Square Riverboat has moved to Hollywood Studios, and by doing so, they're also closing it from January 29th to February the 4th. But as it's at the studios anyway, it won't make a difference. I'm sure you can use the Magic Kingdom one.
No, I just put that one in there. That's all the refurbs. But it's some interesting... obviously, if they're going to be refurbing the Backlot Tour from the 3rd to the 29th of January, that isn't going anywhere. Only I Shrunk the Kids Playground again. What's that? A 26-day closure. So they're not going to be able to do a huge amount in that time. It's the Playhouse Disney Live on Stage one that's interesting, though, because that is going from the 30th of January to the 5th of March, which is, you know, well over a month. The talk is apparently, the rumour, I don't know whether this is true, they're currently changing Playhouse Disney. It's going to become Disney Junior. It's going to slightly extend the age range that it's suitable for. With things like My Friends Tigger and Pooh going out of the window now, they're not really showing that. That's been sort of, the new series have been cancelled. That won't be coming on. That's going to be out of date. But they have bought some new stuff now. I know one of the things that they've got coming in is possibly Timmy Time, which I know is a sort of BBC programme that Disney have bought the rights to. And also Special Agent Oso might also be going in there, something that's a little more up to date. But it's nice to see them update the show every now and again, because obviously it gets quite old.
I've heard it's going to be Marvel Superheroes Junior on stage.
miniature Spider-Man fights miniature, I was going to say Superman, but he's not Marvel. He fights miniature X-Men on stage.
Oh, it's a bit geeky that you said, Michael. That's not Marvel, that's DC.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't say it was DC, actually. You did.
Oh.
But it'd be nice to see if they are updating that, and obviously the Liberty Square riverboat goes to its usual stuff anyway, which is fine. Right, just very quickly, something else that's quite interesting, because I think this looks quite cool, and that is Topiary has popped up in Pixar Place to advertise the release of Toy Story 3 on DVD and Blu-ray. It's out in the US as we speak. It'll be out in the UK on the 22nd of November. The reason I know that, it's the day after my birthday, and I'm going to be getting it for my birthday. So Toy Story 3 Topiary, which looks really, really cool. Been some nice photos to have taken in front of that. That's popped up over in Hollywood Studios in Pixar Place. See, we're rattling through the news this week because there's so little stuff. This might cause a little bit more conversation, though, Juz, over at One Man's Dream.
Yeah, it's just opened up. It's fine.
Oh, there we go. Moving on.
No, it's been refurbised. It's been all over the Disney blog. They've put some wonderful things like the corridors feature an elegant colour palette that brings new focus to beloved characters. Which I thought was a bit like, you know, just basically saying we've given it a new coat of paint. The thing I'm really keen on, and I really would love to see this, is the audio animatronic Abe Lincoln figure.
Yeah.
Straight from 6465 New York's World Fair, because this is what the whole of Pirates was based upon. Every pirate is based upon Abe Lincoln. So this is a major thing, and I'd love to go down. There's a new area entitled The Legacy Continues, which will focus on the Walt Disney Company highlights from the 1970s through today, and will debut next month. There's a heartwarming film tribute as well to One Man's Dream, hosted by Julie Andrews, who's done a few films once or twice. Seen a couple of things. I think it's one of those things that, you know, I'm sure a lot of newbies or people aren't interested probably skip, or it's been classic for me. I've quite enjoyed the timeless side of it. So, but no, the audio animatronic Abe Lincoln, get me down there. I'd pay to go and see him.
See, I'm excited as well to see what's coming in this Legacy Continues that opens next month, because obviously this is a brand new area, which I would think will be looking a little bit like what we expected from it was going to be like the Blue Sky Cellar, and that hasn't happened yet, and I'm sort of hoping that that's going to be coming very, very soon, and there's going to be some really exciting stuff in there for the Fantasyland expansion. We'll also be interested to see whether they reveal any of the changes that might have happened at the Fantasyland expansion as well. It'd be awesome to see if that does change at all, and whether they do put any of those changes in there. But they have got some of the bits and pieces, like the ride vehicles for Little Mermaid and stuff like that, which will be good to see. Okay, let's head over to Animal Kingdom then. This is a bit of news if you're heading out there in the next few days. If not, don't worry, it's not going to affect you. But the Mickey's Jamming Jungle Mickey's Jamming Jungle
the what?
Parade. The Mickey's Jamming Jungle Parade finished performing on November the 7th, and it's going to be closed until November the 13th. So if you're listening to this on the day of release, you've only got a couple of days until it's going to reopen again. This is because they've just relocated some cotton top tamarins that are going to now be towards the base of the Tree of Life, and they wanted to make sure that the animals had obviously had a chance to settle in and make sure they were safe. It's just a little less noise for them, really. It's not that it's going to take forever to transport them over. It just is. So they get the chance to settle in because it's so close to the parade route. During this time, it is believed that they're going to be changing over the parade from the Jamming Jungle Parade to Mickey's Jingle Jungle Parade. Silly names, aren't they? Which hopefully will begin again on November the 14th. So you're going to be seeing that holiday edition from November the 14th. it's again good to see that Disney are really taking it seriously with what they're doing with the animals, enough to say that we've moved these animals here, we're actually going to stop a whole parade for nearly a week so they can settle in.
Yeah, but this doesn't stop the fact there's thousands of people travelling past them each day with kids lobbing stuff at them and poking them.
No, that is true, and I do sort of see what you mean by that. But I suppose if there isn't going to be a parade there, it's going to stop a huge amount of people from sort of crowding in that area, and obviously the loud music and all those things as well.
I'd go down and shout at them.
You would as well, though, that's the thing. So it'd be quite nice that they've had the opportunity to settle in and that they're going to get the proper sort of welcome from everybody who's not watching the parade. I'm talking rubbish now. Absolutely waffling. Right, okay, there we go. Right, some other Walt Disney World news then. Let's head down to Downtown Disney.
Let's do that. Oh, what's there? It's the Disney Epic Mickey, which you can't have missed. The big posters are everywhere with... Is it Mickey meant to be melting or something like that? Mickey's ears, though. Yeah. Is he meant to be a nasty Mickey?
No, he's a nice Mickey. What Mickey is, he went into the Sorcerer's Apprentice's workshop when he was building a model, and he decided to do a bit of painting, and basically it all went wrong and it all merged into everything, and he created this horrible world. And then what you do is you go in as Mickey and you have an ink and paint set, so you can squirt ink and eraser and all that sort of stuff to try and fix the world, basically. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Okay, hang on. Geek! basically what it is, you can actually get a chance to watch and play the game on the Wii console down at Downtown Disney this week, I think, is it? This week it's coming out?
Yes, I think it is, yeah. Festival of Masters, which I think you're right, does start this week. I shall double check that in a second.
As Adam says, that's the game. This has been so hyped over the last few months. It better be good. I mean, they've really hyped this up as, you know, and Disney haven't hyped a game like this for such a long time. I think they're putting a lot of the effort into it. But yeah, down at Downtown Disney, you get a chance to see and play this and drag people in and flog it off there. But no, I've not seen Disney promote a video game like this for a long time.
November 12th to the 14th is the Festival of Masters when you'll be able to see that. But yeah, you are right about how much they've promoted this. And the amazing thing about this is that Warren Spector, the guy who's in charge of creating the whole game, is a massive Disney fan. And there's a lot of places you'll recognise that are based upon Disney. Disneyland and all the other parks as well that you'll go into, and you'll see some of the different areas. They've announced today that there will be an opportunity for you to go into Walt's apartment above the fire station on Main Street in Disneyland as well, and that will be completely in touch, but you can go and visit it. It just looks amazing. It just looks really fantastic. I can't wait for it to come out, and it's another thing that I'm hopefully going to get hold of a copy of to replay and let you guys know what we think about it as well. It's something that does seem to have had a massive sort of it's not had a massive marketing campaign. It's just a lot of people have really hyped this up, and because they've hyped it up, everybody's got very, very excited about it, which is great to see. A bit more news to do with other Disney bits and pieces. We're heading out of the parks and we're heading over to Germany, in fact. Disney aren't building a park in Germany, but Meyer Werft shipyard in Germany has released the new Disney Dream. It's one of the longest ships in the world, and it's one of the largest ships built in Germany to this day. And they've sailed it out of the working shed, the warehouse, and it's been on view for everybody to see. It's currently out in the harbour side now. It's got a few sort of technical tests, and there's some internal construction that is being completed. The ship is then expected to sail down the River Ems at sometime mid-November, of which it will then begin to cross the Atlantic for its anticipated arrival at Port Canaveral on January the 4th. I know there has been some US podcasters and US journalists who have been sent out some invitations to go aboard the very first cruise it's going to be taking coming middle of January. And this ship does look absolutely immense. I'm off on the Disney Wonder in the summer, which is an awesome ship anyway, but compared to the size of the Disney Dream, it's nothing. The Dream is huge. Is this something you want to go on? Are you looking forward to sort of jumping on the Disney Dream at all?
Well, I just want to say thanks to Disney for the invite. I will be going there. Thanks a lot for that. I don't know why you didn't send Adam one, but thank you. I saw the pictures on the website, and A, up until I saw the pictures, I didn't quite grasp the size of this beastie.
Yeah, it's huge.
The pictures just give the whole emphasis of hugeness. It's unbelievable. And they show pictures of it getting put together in some ways, which was quite weird. It's like the front bit was separate, you know, and they said, oh, yeah, this bit went on in March, and they had to, you know, spent 6 months doing it. It is awesome. I'm not a cruise person. I can't be bothered with them. But no, I wouldn't mind just having a quick wander and have a go on that one. It's not really a cruise ship, it's city on water.
It really is, it's huge, you know, and they built it almost like a bit of a mini Meccano set, the way they put all these bits and pieces on top of each other. But it does look an amazing ship, and hopefully one day I'll be on there. It's the next one, the only one I won't have sailed on come its arrival in January, which will be cool. Right, let's move on then. We're going to be jumping on a plane. We're heading over to Disneyland Paris, where it's pretty cold, just like it is here. And we've got some information, I think, about the possible World of Disney store that's coming to Disneyland Paris.
To be honest, we're in Germany. We could have really caught the train.
That's true. Yeah, we were over in Germany, weren't we?
I just think you've created our carbon footprint a bit big now, really. I feel a bit bad about this. Yeah, it's, you know, of course, the former Hurricanes nightclub, which, of course, everybody knows one who went there. I mean, that went about 6 months ago. But yes, there's the new World of Disney store, which can be really bizarre because there's Disney stores all the way opposite this. What it does do is if they open this big store, which there's rumoured to be happening, for me that's really exciting because that means there's other stores that they're going to have to do something with and move across. So yes, it needs it because I think the Disney store there at the moment is looking a bit long in the tooth, and if they build it something like the stateside World of Disney store, I think it'd be absolutely awesome. And why not build a flagship there in Disney, so that people go there, and then we'll use the new Disney stores that are getting rolled out across Europe to go back and enjoy it again. I think this is the flagship area of it.
It's a good idea, very good idea. One of the interesting things when I saw it, because I was obviously out in Disneyland Paris a couple of weeks ago, is that the area for this shop, this new store, is huge. It is equally as big as the World of Disney in downtown Disney in Florida. Ooh. It is absolutely massive, this thing. I didn't expect it to quite be on the scale that it is, and it will take up the whole area sort of just sort of to the right of the Gourmand Theatre, although it's sort of in front and to the right of the Gourmand Theatre. But it's just going to be massive, and you're going to walk sort of past Disney Village, and it's almost just on the outskirts of Disney Village, because you are going to walk past this and you're going to head towards the parks, and it's going to be there right in front of you. You know, there's going to be no missing it whatsoever, and it does look like it's going to be an amazing place if that's exactly how they're going to do it, and it'll be cool to see. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, if that is indeed what they're building. Again, we're still waiting for any sort of confirmation from Disney that is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and the Earl of Sandwich as well.
The Earl of Sandwich, which is a little bit further down in Disney Village. Yeah, they're well on the way with building that, and that's starting to look really good as well. So there's a lot of construction going on at the minute, but with Hurricanes being empty, and they're going to need to do something with that. If this World of Disney does open, as you've said, most of the left side of Disney Village is almost a carbon copy of what's going to go into the World of Disney store. So we'll let you know when we know more about what is going to be going on there. Right, do you own an iPhone or an iPod Touch or anything like that?
Woohoo!
Because if you do, Disneyland Paris have just unveiled a brand new iPhone app. I've got the iPhone app in front of me right now. What this is designed to do is a little tool to help you to plan your visits and all those bits and pieces for when you're about to go to Disneyland Paris. And we're going to talk you through just a little bit about what this is. Now, if you load it up on your iPhone, you get two different options. You've got a Discover, which is Disneyland Paris, get information and book, and already in the park. So I'm going to click on the Discover. And basically what it does...
Is this free or do you have to pay for it?
This is free. It's absolutely free. You can click on all sorts of areas. There's a Discover Disneyland Paris area, which means you can then open up all the different places, the hotels, the Disney Village, the Studios Park, and the Disneyland Park. You've then got a plan your visit, so that gives you practical information, opening hours, stuff for disabled guests, etc. There's a what's new section, and then there's a book now section as well, of which you can book your tickets, book your packages, book your restaurants, although this doesn't quite work, because if you book your restaurants, it comes up and there's a button that says call to book, and if you click that, it straight away rings France on an international number on your mobile phone. So it's not the best option.
What's the app called?
The app is
I'm doing it while you're talking.
There you go, the Disney, it's just Disneyland Paris I think it's just known as Disneyland Paris. There's also another application, another area on this application called Already in the Park. And what this allows you to do, and this is quite clever, is it allows you to explore the Disneyland Park and allows you to explore which park you want to. So you can click on Disneyland Park, etc., and it'll take you to that particular area. It'll come up with attractions, it'll come up with characters, it'll tell you where all of those different elements are. Also, you can set your own agenda, so you know what you're going to be doing when. And although this will only work if your GPS is switched on and you're checking it in the actual park itself, it will tell you current wait times for attractions, so you can check them on your iPhone as you're going around. Now, this all sounds fantastic, but there's one huge, huge problem with this. For you to be able to access any of the information while you're in the park, you need to be connected through either an Edge or a 3G connection. If we're in the park in France on our mobile phone, that means it's going to cost us a small fortune in which for us to be able to use it and download it. So this is sort of the big flaw for me with this, that it won't work properly while you're in the park, because it will cut with your internet turned off, because it costs you a small fortune, which I think is a bit of a big oversight.
Bit silly, isn't it?
It is a little bit silly in that sense, but obviously there's no other way they can do it. Let's just give you some of the things that you can get. So you've got description of parks, attractions, show parades, etc. You've got a load of advice on there in itineraries, all that sort of stuff, and you can look at it in different sort of tastes. There's strong sensations, family exam adventures, and one for little ones, etc. There's all the latest news with a load of video trailers and presentations for hotels. Now, once you're in the park, the application then helps you organise your visit. You can do what's called the interactive card. It allows you to sort of pick up the points of interest, such as shows, parades, restaurants, stores, services, and it's all done through this geolocalization that makes it easy to find your way around the park. There's a search motor, which allows you to select the points of interest by criteria, type of attraction, etc. There's increased reality, where it's symbolized by this 3D symbol, which is both your 3GS and your 4 iPhones, which allows you to see the park through the iPhone's camera and to position the points of interest directly, which I think is quite clever. You get the park hours, attraction show, and attraction waiting times, and they're given again that geolocalization idea in the parks as well, and then you can get the schedules while you're there. So nice idea. I like the idea. I think it's a very clever iPhone app. The only problem is that obviously the in-park stuff isn't any use unless you're on your work iPhone and work pay for your mobile bill.
Woohoo! Work pay for mobile.
Yeah, work don't pay for mine, unfortunately. Right, I think there's some new meet and greets going on in Disneyland Park. Juz, who are they with?
I don't know, I'm upset now. It won't let me download the app.
Oh, that's rubbish.
It says not available.
Oh.
Perhaps it's iPhone people only and not iPod people.
Maybe. You might be right.
Perhaps it requires the 3G bit and whatever.
Whatever.
Right, just let you know, Star Wars. Whoosh, whoosh. Characters' meet and greets have appeared in the Christmas programme for next week at Paris. These new meet and greets are being held over near, funny enough, Star Tours.
Yeah.
During the last few weeks, both Chewie, that's what I call him, you might know him as Chewbacca, and Darth Vader, have been seen wandering around the parks as it is. So, yeah, it's nice to see the Star Wars get into the festive spirit.
Yeah, and it's nice to see some of the characters back, because hopefully there'll be people like Jedi Mickey might start to appear as well, which would be really, really cool if it does.
So you didn't see any when you were there, then?
I didn't see any when I was there, but to be honest, I didn't really look out for them. But certainly when we were around the Star Tours area, we didn't see any at that particular time, which is a shame, but there you go. One more piece of news for you for Disneyland Paris, then, and that is that we announced a few months ago that Rapunzel would be appearing, and Rapunzel has indeed made her debut. She arrived in a blaze of glory as part of the press event for Disneyland Paris's Christmas season, where she appeared on the centre stage, and her and Flynn Rider, as his name is, appeared on stage. And they sang a song together, although obviously it was mimed, and they had the photo opportunity and all that sort of stuff. It was really nice, sort of a nighttime show that was well choreographed, really nice little show. But Rapunzel and Flynn Rider are now being seen inside Disneyland Park every single day during the Christmas season, so do go over and check those out. So it's nice to see that we're getting it nice and early, the new Rapunzel characters, and hopefully the film will live up to all the hype that it's had so far. The music I've certainly heard so far has been fantastic. So fingers crossed the film's going to be equally as good.
Very hyped, though, isn't it?
It has been very hyped. I must admit, when I first sort of heard about it, I wasn't so sure whether this was going to be any good, whether it was going to be a decent film or not. But I've heard a lot of really good things from people about how funny it is and about how well written it is. And it's got all the new songs. And Alan Menken, the guy behind Little Mermaid, is going to be involved in, has been involved in writing all the songs and things as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Hopefully, it's going to be a good film. Right, let's move over to the UK. We've got a bit of Disney Store news for you, for those of you who live over here in sunny old, or not so sunny at the moment, England.
So I'm busy now.
Oh, okay.
Because I just downloaded the app and it does work. Would it like to use my current location? Yes. Okay, it's basically about the magical giving tree appeal, which aims to donate presents to over 9,000 deserving children in the UK. Go Disney. You could sponsor a soft toy for just £5 in any of the UK's 57 Disney stores. Each toy sponsored will be donated to a child in the local community in partnership with a local charity, and in return you'll receive a special Christmas trading pin of Mickey Mouse. I think for £5 it's really good. There is absolutely tons of charities being promoted in the local areas. I posted all this on the forum under Disney in general.
Excellent.
So basically you can see, I mean, for me it's I think it's Alder Hey in my area. Yeah, Alder Hey, Leicester, Rainbow Hospice for Children and Young People in Adams area. So these are great causes. A fiver, I mean, you're even getting something out of it yourself. I don't think there's any excuse if you're wandering past a Disney shop not to nip in and do it.
And one of the things I like about this is that most of the charities are local to the area. So the Rainbows Hospice, which they're doing for the Leicester store, is a very localised charity for Leicester. And it's nice to see that Disney are trying to keep things localised in what they're supporting with things like that. So well done, Disney.
And I'm, I'm
not a big pin collector, but if I'm in the Disney store and I see one of these, I'll probably pick one of these up just because I know that I'm supporting a local charity. So that's cool. All right, there we go. There is all of our news and rumours. Told you it was going to be a quick one. There isn't a lot for us to talk about. So let's get on with the rest of the show.
Woohoo!
Hey! Sorry, folks! I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
Columbus Vacation Villas, Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
The holiday season is once again upon us, and as usual, it's a time where we should think about those who are less fortunate than we are and try to make a difference in their lives. Over 60 years ago, Walt Disney became one of the original sponsors of the Toys for Tots Foundation, which ensures that every underprivileged child receives a toy during the holiday season. Walt and his animators personally designed the original Toys for Tots train logo that is still used today, and the first poster ever created for the group. In this spirit, WDW News Today, the WDWNT Network, and our many friends and partners are putting on a 24-hour live broadcast to raise money for Toys for Tots. We hope you'll join us beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on November 26, 2010, when the broadcast begins, and we certainly hope you'll help us by making a donation to this great cause. The broadcast is taking place at WDWNTunes.com. That's WDWNTUNES.com. Again, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the 26th and running until 9 p.m. Eastern Time on November 27, 2010. Thank you for your time, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
As I've been bleating on for quite a while, I've just returned from Disneyland Paris and went out for Halloween. I took one of our listeners, Craig Williams, with us, and we had a bit of quite an entertaining weekend while we were out there. So what we wanted to do is share with you some of the things that we did while we were out there, let you know some of the exciting things that we tried that I hadn't tried before. And Jos is still with me, and he's going to listen to me waffle on and hopefully... Yeah, there you go. Hopefully he's going to input little bits and pieces as we go for you guys to find out a little bit more about the trip out to Disneyland Paris. So I headed out on a Friday evening, flew out via EasyJet, and found out that the rail strikes were still going on in Paris, although the airports were open. And basically flew out from London Luton. I was due to fly out at 7 o'clock. It was then delayed for 45 minutes. Thank you, EasyJet. We flew out, supposed to fly out at 7:45. We didn't actually fly out until just before 8:15 in the end, so it was well and truly an hour and 15 minutes late by the time we actually flew, which meant when I arrived in Disneyland Paris I'd missed my connecting train. There was one last train that went from Charles de Gaulle Airport all the way into Disneyland Paris. It was an 11 minute journey. And I'd missed the final train, and I had to jump on the metro. And in the end, it was just short of a 2-hour journey from Charles de Gaulle all the way out to Disneyland Paris. Do you know, you think it's funny, it was late at night. I tell you, I was very tired by the time I arrived. Bearing in mind, I left the UK at 8:15. I arrived at Disneyland Paris at our hotel at 1:15 the following morning. But it did bring something interesting up, which was... we've shared a little bit about some of the ways of getting to Disneyland Paris, but we haven't really explored those possibilities of what happens if you miss, or what happens if this happens. So I think we need to do a segment on travelling to Disneyland Paris from the airport, because there's actually a lot. I learned an awful lot by having to sort of find my way there, and it'd be well worth, I think, telling people about the best ways to do it.
Okay.
So we stayed at the Dream Castle, which is one of the Disney associated hotels, although it's not a Disney hotel. Never stayed in the Dream Castle before, and there was a lovely lady called Katia who showed me round on the Saturday morning and got a tour of the whole property. And I've got to say, you know, there are some hotels which you look at and you think they look really nice. I've read some of the reviews, people moaning about the lack of quality of rooms or about the food at breakfast was terrible. And I must say, the food and the accommodation of the hotel was absolutely fantastic. The beds were massive, they were comfortable, the rooms were really clean and well decorated. The whole of Dream Castle is designed to be this medieval style castle, obviously. The bar is called Excalibur, of which Craig spent a few hours in and said it was a lovely bar while he was waiting for me to arrive. But you know, I would recommend highly this hotel to anybody if you get yourself a good rate, because some of the rooms can be quite expensive. It is well worth staying at. It's well worth staying at for two reasons. One, because it's a lovely hotel. Two, because in the mornings the bus, if it's a sort of peak season, it's busy time, we'll do Magic Circus and Dream Castle, and we'll always do Dream Castle last and then head straight to the parks. So it's a perfect place to get on that bus and then get straight to the parks. The breakfast we had there was absolutely stunning. You complain, sometimes people complain about the lack of food that you get, but there was so much variety at the buffet for Dream Castle that we were never sure quite what we wanted to eat next. There was almost too much choice. We had a lot of your normal cold meats and your fruits and your yogurts and all that sort of stuff, but also we had a hot bar which had sausages and beans and potatoes. The scrambled egg did look like it was a little bit runny and was floating in something slightly, so I left that, but although Craig tried it and said it was very nice. And then they had crepes, which were brilliant. I think the second morning I actually just had a massive plate of crepes and golden syrup, and I think I went back for more as well. I know, but it was good. Have you stayed at Dream Castle, Joz?
No, I've stayed. Oh, have I? No, I haven't. I've been in it, but I haven't stayed there.
Well, the restaurant's massive as well, so you got plenty of room to go and eat for breakfast. We didn't stay for dinner. It was we did think it was quite a pricey place to eat for dinner. It wasn't particularly cheap, so we ate in other places in the park and around the resort. But overall, I would say Dream Castle is a fantastic place to go and stay, and well worth a good look. So you do need to look up for those. It's Vienna International, but you can find Dream Castle. You can find it through the Disney site, although I think it is cheaper if you book it through them independently. And the further out you book, the cheaper it is as well. On the Saturday evening, we were lucky enough to go and see Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. I've seen it before. Me and Juz went to see it when we were last out there. It's just as they changed it last time with Mickey and Minnie and everything in. And we were lucky enough to be given a backstage tour of the property, basically, of Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, and we got taken all the way onto the sort of centre stage. We got to see that. We got to see the area behind that stage as well. We got to see where they keep the buffalo, and we got to go down to where the horse stables and everything were, and was given a really great tour. So thank you to Leslie Rain and Trent Vance for that, who play Annie Oakley and also Buffalo Bill. And it was a sort of special Halloween show, of which I'm going to talk to you about in a second. But the other thing we had the opportunity to do while we were out there is to speak briefly to Leslie Rain, who plays Annie Oakley, and she was going to tell us a little bit about the show. Well, we're here in Disney Village, and you will remember about 18 months or so ago, we spoke to Trent Vance, who is the one and only Buffalo Bill. He's here, looking very cold at the moment. But we've also got Leslie Rain with us, who plays the part of Annie Oakley. So, Leslie, thank you for coming on the show.
Yee-haw!
Oh, well, indeed, yee-haw. So, you have been part of this show for how long?
Actually, the show started at our ranch with Mario Liracci. The show actually started because Disneyland wasn't built yet, so it actually happened at our ranch where we have a bunch of horses, etc.
And I remember you saying there's some sort of link between your ranch and Buffalo Bill, isn't there?
Yeah, Mario Liracci did the whole section of the horses and the action for the show with Robert Carson, who was the artistic director at the time.
So you are the one and only, the original Annie Oakley for the show then?
Well, actually, I came on later. I was more of helping with the horses. But when I saw the show, I said, oh, I want to do the Annie Oakley. I was at the very beginning, and then I went off to do other things. And then when I saw the show, I just loved the part. And I waited until there was an opportunity, and I came back and did it. With Sana Worvell. Sana Worvell's been here from the very beginning.
I've been doing some digging on you to find out a little bit more about who Leslie Rain is. And you've been doing Buffalo Bill, but you've been involved in television and films and bits and pieces,
sure,
haven't you, as well?
Yes, yeah. Mario's done about 450 movies. I've done about 200 as a stunt woman, as actress, and I did circus and lots of other things too.
So what is it about the show that you absolutely love?
I love the character of Annie Oakley. She was Madonna in 1880. She was the star. She held her own in this Wild West show with just men and wild animals, wild buffaloes. They came over on boats. It's incredible the tour that they did in Europe. And she was the one and only woman in the show at the time. Very Victorian. She didn't do cabaret style work at all. She was Victorian and she just kept to her sharpshooting. But she was the best.
Because she's almost like the original tomboy in a way, isn't she? You know, she was a very strong lady, but she loved to be doing what the boys did.
Yes, well, there was Calamity Jane at the time also, who was more of a butch kind of character. Annie was very proper and very Victorian, and she sewed her own. She loved to have tea parties and to sew her own costumes, and she had always a very delicate look about her, even though she was a great sharpshooter and rode very well.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the show, but there's one thing I've got to ask you. And when I was doing some research for the interview, I noticed and I found that you've been on Fort Boyard. Is that true?
God, excuse the expression. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Quite a while ago.
It was with some of the Buffalo Bill cast, was that right?
Yeah, there was one of the Buffalo Bills and the clowns who also do stunts. There's some great guys doing stuntmen in the show who also do clowns there. Now they're dancing with the characters. They have a great part, too. They really bring a lot of energy to the show. And so we all went down to Fort Boyard and we did it. Yeah, yeah, it was very, lots of fun.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing the show. Is there one particular part of the show that we've got to particularly look out for you?
For me?
Or just anything in general? Is there one part of that show that really stands out for you?
Everyone loves the moment of the Indians with the buffalo. Mm. That's the most spiritual, I think that's the strong part of the show.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, but the whole show is put together in a way that it just... It's been going on for 18 years, almost 19. It's a recipe that works. And I remember at the beginning, we thought the show would maybe last 5 years or so. And it's still packed out. I had a hard time getting my son in to see the show tonight, you know. It's packed out. You'll see the show.
I must say, you know, we were talking earlier that this show has been going for so long. Uh-huh. And it is such a huge arena for this show to take place in, and yet it's still filling out night after night. And as you said, that secret to it is the fact that it's that almost authenticity of it. And the one thing I'm always amazed about is that this show has never made it over to Disney World. I'm amazed that this show is so, because it's so American in its ways, it is such an American icon, that this show has never made it out to Walt Disney World.
Well, I know that Mario did. He's taken this show to Belgium and taken it to Italy with the buffalo and everything. I don't know how Buffalo Bill did it in the old days, because we had an awful time to take 50 horses, the buffalo, the whole cast, organizing the buses, the hotels, the thing. It's really, really a heavy show to carry around. And it's a, you know, it'd be an enormous project to do it. But I hope that it is done in Disney World, or...
Well, I hope it is as well, because I think the American audience would absolutely love it. Well, Leslie, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing the show, and we'll let you go and get yourself sorted ready for this evening.
Make myself beautiful.
Exactly. Well, I don't think you need to do that, but there we go.
thank you very much. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Leslie. Thank you, Leslie, for talking to us. And Trent was there once again. Brilliant show if you've not seen it. Now, the Halloween show was a little bit different, only slightly, but it was a little bit different. It was quite cool. You remember, just as you sort of walk in, you go through the turnstiles, you've got that long sort of walkway down to where the bar and everything is.
Yeah.
Well, they did this over, and what they did is, as you walk down, they had a sort of eerie, spooky music, and on the right-hand side you had an eerie graveyard, and then they put all of these sort of white trees, which they covered in cobwebs and everything, that had this blue lighting. It looked awesome. I've got some photos. I've still yet to put my photos up on Facebook, or I will do that. You'll be able to see a photo of that. And they turned that all to this Halloween-y style sort of area. They had Halloween music and Halloween live show and that sort of stuff before we went in. And then when you went into the show, they had all sorts of little Halloween twists. In the show, I remember when the cowboys do their cookout, they shoot the chicken and that comes down and lands on somebody's head. Well, they had pumpkins in the show this time. Chip and Dale, they have the point where they reveal the characters in the back of the horse-drawn carriages when they have this cowboy cookout. And on this occasion, Chip and Dale were there covered in white sheets, pretending to be ghosts, obviously. And that was quite amusing, because they changed that slightly. But there's one point as well when Buffalo Bill is in the middle of the arena all on his own, and suddenly there was thunder and it went really dark, and a headless horseman just trotted or cantered across the middle of the arena and back out the other side, which was quite cool, because he had the head in his hand. He couldn't see his other head. Very much like, I suppose, what you see the Bootyoo Parade at Walt Disney World. But they had it, obviously, in Buffalo Bill's show. So that was really cool and well worth seeing as well. So it was quite a nice little sort of Halloween-y twist. Nothing that I would say you'd want to go and see the Halloween show and you'd want to go and see the normal show. It was just a nice addition, because it was the 30th. It was the night before Halloween itself. So we enjoyed that. That was really cool. Halloween in the park itself, it's good to see that they're still building on all the Halloween stuff that they started working on. We've still got the Halloween land, which is the frontier land. They've now begun to extend that out towards Cowboy Cookout. And they've got Jack and Sally you can meet down there as well, and a load of the old cauldrons and stuff from when they used to have the witches. We went out in Cowboy Cookout, which I know is one of your favourite places, Juz. We did look at the dessert buffet. We didn't have time to go, unfortunately, although if we had done, we would have done, I tell you. But that didn't look really good. But we heard our best bit of French while we were in Cowboy Cookout Barbecue. It was an English man who went up to the counter and he said, "Hello, I would like two Diet Cokes and un normal Coke."
That was me.
It was something like that. It was one normal Coke and deux Cokes, or something like that. It was just brilliant. It was one word he used in French, which made us chuckle quite a lot. That was quite entertaining. But it's they've got the new Halloween style show that's going on, because they've got the New Generation Festival. We haven't really talked much about the New Generation Festival, because I've not had a chance to see it, and I quite like it this year. They've left the castle completely alone. The show in the middle of the park has got Tiana and Ratatouille and all of the sort of more modern type characters. That's what, obviously, the New Generation Festival. I didn't see the whole show, but what I did see, I really, really enjoyed. I did just, though, see the Wall-E and Eve statue, which looks even better in person than it does in a photo. It's much bigger than I expected, and it is amazing. And you can see the way that Eve is literally being held up just by Wall-E's claw. And you can't see how that does it, but it is amazing the way that looks. Queues for Haunted Mansion were 45 odd minutes because it was Halloween. They really were quite big. There was a lot of Halloween characters sort of hanging around in that sort of area. And it was great to ride Star Tours again, which is obviously still the original, and be able to do that while the one in America sort of closed and disappeared. But the main reason we headed out there was to go and experience the Terrorific Night 2. Now, this was an event that was run in 2008 on a small scale. They had a couple of years off. And then in 2010, this year, the 30th of October, they ran Terrorific Night 2. And I want to talk you through this event, because this event is unlike anything you would have experienced before. My biggest complaint about this, and I'm going to say this now, is that the map that I currently have in front of me, the park map for the event, is written entirely in French. And all of the directions, all of the signs, everything was entirely in French. They really weren't that geared up for those people who were coming who weren't necessarily French speakers. But the event started on the 30th at 9 o'clock, or it should have started at 9 o'clock and finished at 1 a.m. We arrived at 9 and we didn't sort of get in until about 10 past quarter past. But the first thing we saw when we arrived was basically a dark studios. The music wasn't your normal jolly film type music. It was very dark. It was quite eerie. And you'll be able to see all this with the vidcast that's available to download with this episode of the show, because I've done about a 13-14 minute video of a load of the elements. And then as soon as they let everybody out in, everybody sort of very carefully walked into the front lot. The front lot was quite normal, there was nothing going on, but it wasn't until you got into Studio One. Now, Studio One normally is a very nice-looking Hollywood street, again, Hollywood-style music of the 1920s, 1930s, whereas now it's known as Darkness Boulevard. It was mainly occupied between 9 and 10 o'clock, the first hour, and then the last sort of 40 minutes towards the end of the night, where you literally walked down Darkness Boulevard and there were these zombie-style creatures all over the place, and they would just jump out of people and you'd just hear people scream. They'd come up right up into your face and they'd be saying stuff. And that, in a way, it was a little bit eerie for us because they were doing it in French and I didn't understand everything she was saying. Which made it a bit scary because goodness knows what she was trying to say to me. But they were all over the place. But the one thing that really shocked me when I saw this, and I thought, wow, this really is a very un-Disney event for what we're used to. The studio store, which is on the sort of the store in there on the left-hand side, which was open. You can go in there and you can actually shop in there. Legends of Hollywood, I think, is what it's called. There was a cast member stood outside of it. Or what I thought was a cast member stood outside of it in the usual cast member outfit. But she had blood all over her face and she was stood with her arms out and she just had blood running down her arms. And that, to me, was like... Also, all the others were sort of all these zombie characters in normal clothing. But suddenly we had a cast member in a cast member outfit who was looking quite... well, scary for some people. And I was like, wow, that really is quite a step for Disney to be going that far to put somebody in a cast member outfit and do it that way. So that was Darkness Boulevard. You walked all the way through there and then you eventually ended out in the main part of the park. And there were several different things. There were attractions, there were streetmosphere elements as well, and there were attractions that were done over slightly. And I'm just going to quickly go through the attractions that were done over. First one was the Rock and Roller Coaster. They actually called it Rock and Roller Coaster Panic at Studio. Or Panic at the Studio. And what they did is it was Rock and Roller Coaster, which we like anyway, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
But they had changed all the lighting and they added a scarier soundtrack to it. The ride was exactly the same. It was just a slightly scarier change to it. The other one that was pretty similar was Tower of Terror. That had big queues. That was open as normal. And the ride was exactly the same, but in the queue they had all these sort of 1920s and 30s style people hanging around like they were in the lobby of the hotel. And again, they would scare people every now and again. But there were two attractions that had massive changes, which I'll come to in a second. Crush's Coaster was Crush's Coaster Storm Warning, which I thought was quite a clever twist on this idea of him being in the waters of the EAC. Whereas, again, it was the same ride, but what they did is they added new lighting effects and a scarier soundtrack as well, which almost made it more... It felt more intense than it normally does. Toy Story Playland was open. Parachute Drop, Zigzag Spinner, RC Racers... I've got to say, I've heard people complain about this place, about that it's not big enough, it's rubbish, the rides aren't great. I loved all three rides. We didn't do all three that night. The Slinky Dog Zigzag Spin is like one of those sort of roundabout sort of rides, but the carriages are big enough to easily fit five people in, so you can go on as a whole family, which I thought was quite cool. The parachute drops faster than I thought it would. An RC racer doesn't half get hold of your stomach when it goes forwards and backwards. But the two attractions that they did do over completely, I saw this one and I thought, oh, you're joking, that's going to be utterly terrible. The Armageddon Crash Terror. Now, have you been on Armageddon?
Yes.
Well, they completely changed this. It went from a ride which you experienced to a walk-through attraction. And basically what happened, you went into a room to start off with, in this dark room, and they told you that this spaceship had crash-landed and there were now aliens on the loose. And they opened the doors, and then you basically queued. You walked through the queue area, you walked through the main room, and then out of the exit queue. And as you went through, there were these alien creatures hiding in different areas that would just come out at people all the way through. A nice premise. The only thing is, the masks that they were wearing, you could tell they blatantly weren't real aliens. You could have pulled one off someone's head quite easily. It was almost like they'd run out of a bit of budget by the time they got to this point. But because it was quite dark and there was the occasional strobe and things like that, still made it quite scary. But my favourite bit of the whole thing, and this was absolutely amazing, was the terrorific tram tour. Now, usually, I'm not bothered by the tram tour. I don't bother queuing for it. It's all right, but it's not the best ride in the world. But we'd heard things about what they were going to do, or they were going to change it. So we went and got in the queue. Now, when we got in the queue, the wait time for it was 666, which was quite clever anyway. But then, coming close to an hour and a half later, we were thinking, right, I'm starting to get quite bored of queuing. But it became quite apparent as to why you had to queue like you did. They basically did over the whole of the tram tour. It started off as it normally starts off. It begins with the intro video, but every now and again the sound cuts out. And then suddenly the video cuts off and it just goes to this static screen. And you go through, you go past the, you know, the Dinotopia set. You go past that the first time, it's just red light and smoke. And then you go into Catastrophe Canyon, that happens as normal. And at this point I was thinking, I've queued an hour and a half to basically see some different colours, some smoke, and ride Catastrophe Canyon. And I was getting a bit annoyed, until suddenly when you double back on yourself and come past the Dinotopia set again, and suddenly it's full of actors. And there's this big devil on stilts, and he starts, and you'll see all this on the video. If you download the vidcast, you'll see all of this on there. This devil starts shouting everybody, and suddenly all of these characters turn and start to walk and crawl towards the carriage, and all these people then at that point start to get quite nervy and start screaming, and then suddenly they start to jump up onto the carriage. And we thought at this point, yeah, this is quite cool, you know, I'm quite enjoying this. And then suddenly there was a moment that really got me, and I was like, what do we do about this? Do we help them or not? Where they suddenly grabbed hold of this girl in this jacket and dragged her off the tram and held her up in the air and started to walk towards this devil creature with her. We were like, what's going on? Her boyfriend was in the back of the tram with her. He was like panicking. They'd stopped him from getting her. He was crying. He was shouting. And it wasn't until the point where they put her on the floor and the tram started to drive away, realised she was an actor and it was all completely set up. But then we had this moment of this actor now, their boyfriend, was sat in the back of our tram with... he's got to continue acting for the rest of this entire ride. And he starts crying and he lays down on the seat and all this sort of stuff. And then he just goes really quiet, unnervingly quiet almost. And these girls were on the road just behind us, were sort of watching him every now and again. And he just went quiet for a little while as we moved on. And then suddenly he started to sort of chant and he started to shake. And then suddenly he just became this possessed thing and started to terrorise the back line of the tram for the next 10-15 minutes, which was just brilliant. I just laughed a lot. But the last thing that did happen is you go into the Rain of Fire scene, and here they've done that all over as well, and suddenly it stops, and rather than having the usual fire that you get, all of these concrete creatures start to come out of the taxis and the buses and out of the ground and that sort of stuff, and came to get you. And then these other guys come, and they look like they've saved your life from these concrete creatures until they realise they've got rid of them because they're zombies and they want to eat you. And that all happened. And this is basically the whole idea of the tram, how the tram all works. And it was just a truly fantastic... Bearing in mind, this entire night was on for 4 hours, and they'd completely done over the terrific tram, which was awesome. And then there was two other things. There was a sort of a percussion and flame-throwing show that was on, which was okay. There's a little bit of that on the vidcast as well. And then there was a place called Welcome to Whitechapel, which... Do you know the seating area directly outside of Tower of Terror? The way they put all the tables and chairs. Well, they cleared out all the tables and chairs, and they just filled it with fog. And then basically you just walked into it. and there were just all these characters all over the place. And again, you'll see that on the video as well. There was some Victorian woman, there was some Freddy Krueger looking character in there as well, that were all jumping out of people and hiding. But my favourite bit about it was the Streetmosphere characters. I said already about the ones that are in Darkness Boulevard. But there was a guy, he was about seven and a half foot, this guy, outside Rock and Roller Coaster with a fake chainsaw who would chase people, which was quite funny to watch these people being chased by a chainsaw-wielding maniac. There's a couple of zombies who would run down the street after people as well. And right by the entrance to the Tower of Terror, again, you'll see it on the vidcast, there's an American policeman who's got what looks like an inmate in a straitjacket, and he's got him on a rope. And every now and again, he just lets go of that rope a little bit. And you hear him say, "Don't run, don't run." And you see these girls run, and you see him just let go of the rope on this guy with a straitjacket, and he just chases after them. And he just grabs this rope and grabs hold of this man and calms him down. But the whole event cost us about £22 for the night, and it was just absolutely stunning. It was just brilliant. And I know you're sort of dead against this sort of thing, aren't you, Judge? You're not particularly happy that Disney are trying to take this sort of idea on, are you?
No, I don't think it's a Disney thing, personally, but that's just me, apparently.
I do see where you're coming from, and it isn't a Disney thing as such, but what I like about this is they, under no pretense did they say that there was going to be Disney characters there, and they kept it as a completely separate entity. This was Disney Does Scary, not Disney Does Scary and there's a couple of characters over there. It was Disney Does just Scary, and it was... I can only sort of compare it to a very early version of Halloween Horror Nights. And I sort of hope that if they're going to keep doing this, they're going to add more and more to it over the years, and they maybe will begin to do it over several nights rather than over just one night. But that was a truly awesome night, and it really was fantastic and was sort of the highlight of the trip, really. And then we headed into the parks on Halloween Day itself, where the parks were absolutely rammed. If you are thinking about going over for a quick trip, do not do it on the day on Halloween Day itself, because the parks were crazy. The wait times were just absolutely immense. But there you go. There's my little trip to Disneyland Paris.
A fun weekend, then.
A fun weekend, indeed. Thoroughly enjoyed. And if you want to read some real, real detailed information on it, I know Craig has been doing some stuff over on his blog, which I think is mkingdon.com. I need to just double-check that. I know you're sort of dead. Are you dead against Disney doing it as a hard ticketed event? Are you dead against Disney doing it in general? Are you dead against them taking it over to Florida?
No, my issue is the fact that, unlike all the other parks, Disney is a family park, and all this does is separate the family, which I don't think is what the whole Disney thing's about.
Which I think why they did it so late. It was so late in the evening, so it didn't necessarily split the family up in that sense. Oh, but it was designed for a lot of people who are a lot older. We did see a couple of families who took their sort of what looked like 7-8 year old kids in, and they got to the end of Darkness Boulevard and turned around and came out again because they realised that maybe it wasn't the great place to go. It is mkingdon.com is Craig's blog, and you can go over there, and he is going to be blogging each day of the trip. Currently he's got day one up there, and it really is quite a detailed report, so it's well worth going over to read. Right, there we go. That is Disneyland Paris trip done. That is news and rumours done. That is Craig, that is show done, Juz.
Woohoo!
Turn to your partner and those who don't and swing them around to and fro. Ghosts and goblins have no chance at the not so scary Halloween dance.
Thanks once again for joining us for this edition of the show. A slightly shorter show than normal, but hopefully we're back up to our normal length on the next edition. Thanks once again to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find out more about them at www.columbus-vacations.com. Thanks again once again to Juz for joining me. Hopefully Craig will have back for the next edition of the show. You can, of course, continue to email us questions, comments, and suggestions. We've not done a listener email thing for a while. I'd quite like to do something like that very soon. So please do email your questions into us. That's podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring and leave a voicemail on our voicemail numbers 0121 288 2858 if you're in the UK and Europe, and 407 1-800-545-7980 if you're in the US. Make sure to check out our website, www.disneybrit.com. The front page does have all the latest news for Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris, as well as the links over on our forum, where it is www.ionorlando.com/forum. We share that forum over there. You can, of course, check out our Facebook pages and our Disney Brit fan page over on Facebook, of course. You can check out Twitter as well, where we are at Disney Brit. But do on Facebook come over and friend up myself, Juz, and Craig, and continue to leave your reviews on iTunes. We thank you for those people who have done that over the past couple of months. You can find our new YouTube channel if you search for Disney Brit Podcast over on YouTube. You will find us, and there is a brand new vidcast up there. In fact, there's two new vidcasts up there. I've now posted up the video from the opening of Milton Keynes Disney Store and the new terrorific night that I went to in Walt Disney Studios, the vidcast. If you've not downloaded it as part of this feed, you can watch that over on YouTube as well. They are up there. And of course, remember to listen to our radio shows on 1410 AM Heartbeat Radio. You can listen live in Orlando at 1410 AM. You can listen right in Disney World, or you can listen online at heartbeatradiousa.com. That's between 6 and 8 PM. Eastern time. That's 11 PM to 1 AM UK time. That's on a Friday evening. And you can find out more about the Disney show, destinationd.info is where to go for that. And you can download that and the Iron Orlando radio show over on iTunes. And well, that's pretty much it. And all it leaves for me to tell you is the next edition of the Disney Brit Podcast is going to be on Wednesday, the 24th of November. So until then, I'll see you.